The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com. In this episode, we talk to Mary Massery, founder of the course If You Can't Breathe, You Can't Function, to figure out what the big deal about breathing in PT really is. She addresses the why and the what of why paying attention to breathing and breathing mechanics is so vital for so many different patients across multiple settings. We also get into her deep love of the practice of PNF.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on, let's drink beer.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast, where we talk PT,
drink beer,
and record it.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Our next guest received her BS in physical therapy from Northwestern in 77, her DPT from the University of the Pacific in 2004, and her DSC from Rocky Mountain University in 2011. Her publications and interests focus on linking motor behaviors to breathing and or postural mechanics in both pediatric and adult patient populations. She's given over 900 professional presentations in 49 U.S. states and 15 countries worldwide, including more than 100 presentations for the APTA. She's delivered keynote and major addresses on topics such as cystic fibrosis and posture, neuropulmonary deficits, pectus excavatum, I had to Google that, that's chest deformities, and connections between posture and breathing. She's received national awards from the APTA, including its highest clinical award, the Florence Kendall Practice Award. She continues to maintain a private practice in the Chicago area, specializing in breathing and postural dysfunction. Up next on the show, Mary Massery. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks, Jimmy. I'm glad to be here. This will be fun.
Yeah, excited. They say the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Are you drinking a beverage this evening with us?
Well, I didn't want to disappoint you. It says Pintcast, but I went with wine instead of beer, so hopefully that's acceptable.
We do not discriminate against whatever beverage relaxes you out the most. What are you going? Are you going red or white?
I'm going white tonight because it's hot in Chicago.
I'm doing something out of a sampler pack. It was the Blue Moon sampler pack. They've actually put mango in this beer, Mary. I try to have a different type of beer with every episode, but we're going mango beer. So cheers to you for talking with us tonight.
Well, cheers to you too, Jimmy, but I don't think I could do mango in my beer. How's it taste?
Yeah, no, it's not that bad. It's pretty good.
Okay.
So my first question is, if you can't breathe, you can't function. But I've been breathing my whole life. What am I doing wrong?
Well, if you're breathing your whole life and you're doing a good job at it, then you don't need me. So the name of that course, which is really my signature continuing education course, came about because of my husband, who's been in marketing for years in the tech sector, and he said, oh my God, you PTs use way too many words that have too many letters in them and are really dry. Why don't you just say what you're trying to really tell therapists? And that is that if you can't breathe, you can't do, and then he said something that you can't actually use in a title. So we changed it to function. Looking at breathing is just part of every movement, every single movement you have. So if you're not looking at the underlying physiology, you may not understand why your patient is not getting through their rehab as effectively as you think they should, given their pathology. Does that make sense?
Yeah. This is just nothing we covered, you know, in PT school, you know, maybe outside of just, you know, how the ribs actually maybe move during respiration. But how'd you get into this? How did you get your focus locked on this very specific but obviously necessary little corner of PT?
That's actually kind of interesting because I had never heard of cardiopulmonary PT when I went to PT school. I went to PT school, started in 76. And I specifically picked Northwestern because they were very well known for PNF. I had already had two knee surgeries and had one bad physical therapy experience and one really good one. And the really good one was with somebody who was trained in PNF. So I went to Northwestern. I wanted to learn my neuro. That was definitely the in thing in the 1970s. And my very last class was cardiopulmonary. And I thought, if it's the last class, it can't be important. So our teacher, Donna Fraunfelter, who has been an incredible mentor of mine all these years, has said something like this the first day of class. She said, I know a lot of you are thinking you don't need cardiopulmonary. And of course, we're being kind of smart alecks in the class because we're in our very last semester. And we're thinking, yeah, we don't really need this. We know everything already. And she said, okay, so why don't we just see if you need to stay, you'll stay. And if not, you're dismissed. So you know she's up to something because no teacher's going to say that the first day, but you're curious where she's going. So she asked how many are going to be doing pediatrics or orthopedics or neurology. And, you know, she went through multiple different areas and everybody's raising their hand. And then she said, okay, of the patients you'll see in those areas, how many of them are alive?
She said,
sorry, guys, every single one of you, I don't care if you're doing orthopedic outpatient or you're doing intensive care work, your patients all have heart, lungs, and vascular system. And if those aren't working, you're not going to get the physical performance. So she kind of laid the seed in my mind that all patients are physiologic beings and you need to take care of their physiology and to screen for physiologic deficits before you do anything else. And that's kind of how
breathing, breathing's pretty important is what you're getting at.
Yeah, but I didn't go into cardiopulmonary. I was going to, but for various reasons, I didn't go into cardiopulm, so I went into neuro, and all I could see at the Rehab Institute of Chicago when I started working with patients with spinal cord injury, and all I could see was breathing mechanics, impaired secretion management. They all got pneumonia, and I just thought, we're not approaching this problem from the right perspective.
Yeah, treating more of the symptom after the fact than the actual problem, right?
Right. They all got pneumonia. So I kept saying to my supervisors, you know, I'm the new grad, I don't know anything, but I'm saying, well, what happens when they get pneumonia? Oh, we send them to the acute care, and then they take care of them, and then they send them back. And I said, okay, don't get me wrong, because I'm a new grad and I don't know anything, but that seems stupid.
Yeah.
Could I try to do something to prevent the pneumonias and see if it works? And that was really the start of it. I had wonderful supervisors who really encouraged me to think differently, and think differently I did. And that really set the trajectory for my entire career.
So where do you start? I mean, you've said you don't just treat the presenting motor or pain symptoms because you may not be treating the real problem. That's a way to become a very successful PT and be innovative and be forward thinking to keep them out of the acute care setting, in your case, with spinal cord injury patients. But where did you start, or where should someone listening start with a patient? Where do you start looking? Where do you start thinking?
One of the errors we make in physical therapy is that we think if we're an orthopedic PT, we treat orthopedic problems. And if I do mostly pediatric complex medical cases. So, you know, if I'm looking only at congenital heart defects, I treat just the heart defect consequences. Like, no, every single patient is a multi-system organism and all those systems interact. So when you have the presenting symptoms, you have to look, and with a careful medical history and your assessment, figure out, is that the real problem, what they're presenting with, or is that a consequence? Let me give you an example. This will be easier.
Okay.
A patient comes into orthopedic outpatient complaining of repeated rotator cuff injuries. They may or may not have surgery, but they keep coming in with shoulder problems. You can see that they're in pain, you can see that they're impinged, but did you think about the fact that the biomechanics of the shoulder are directly related to breathing mechanics? So did you ask a very important, simple question? Do you have any breathing problems? Do you have any pulmonary history? 10% of every patient population is going to have asthma. So I don't care what area you work in, 10% of your patients at least are going to have asthma. So if you have that patient coming in with asthma who's not well controlled with their asthma, so they wind up using their accessory muscles, which causes increased use of the trapezius, you're going to have more elevation of the shoulders rather than use elevation with the traps rather than a lift of the arm with the deltoids. So now you're going to be causing an impingement because you've actually changed the biomechanics of the shoulder flexors rather than looking at the impingement. It's not the impingement. It's what caused the impingement. In this case,
so it was the why.
Yeah, it's the why. It's not the what. The what, after a while, is easy to see. Why do you see it? In this case, you'd need to send that patient back to their pulmonologist, perhaps, or call the pulmonologist and say, I think a major contributor to this patient's repeated shoulder problems is not shoulder's orthopedic problem, but it's the physiologic consequences of having increased work of breathing and over-recruitment of the accessory muscles. And when you target it that way, it could be that what they need is a change in meds, and they needed just a few visits from you to relearn neuromotor re-ed on how to breathe. But they didn't really need shoulder work, because the problem was never about the shoulders.
Where do you start in terms of, if you identify breathing and postural mechanics as the why, and you're going to treat that as a PT, you might also refer them to somebody else to get checked out, but you are going to treat. What are some different things that you teach in your courses? Because your course is actually, what, 4 days? A four-day lab course?
Well, it's 4 days when I teach overseas, because it's not worth crossing the pond for 3 days. It's just too of a commitment. Here in the States, I teach it as a three-day, because there's really two courses that go hand in hand, and it allows, you know, that people in North America, it's easier to get to courses here. So there's if you can't breathe, you can't function, which get into that in one more second. And then the other that is tangential is I survived, now what? Tells it like it is. The subtitle is treating the musculoskeletal consequences of maturing around a chronic health condition. Such as asthma or cystic fibrosis or cerebral palsy or Duchenne muscular dystrophy or a thousand of other problems that occur in pediatrics. And sooner or later, it always comes down to cardiopulmonary and musculoskeletal. Those are your two endgame consequential body systems where you're going to find problems.
What are some things that maybe would have gotten you fired for non-compliance when you worked for other people? You've had a private practice for over 30 years and said you could never work for another company. You know, what were you being non-compliant for? I'm going to take a guess because you said becoming a very successful PT and often requires becoming a very innovative PT. I'm guessing you were bending the rules because you were looking forward.
I was always bending the rules, always, because it didn't make sense to me to just treat what I saw. If what I saw happened to be the problem, then that was efficient. But if I wasn't allowed to take a little more time to do more of an evaluation or follow up on a hunch or call a doctor or suggest somebody go to see, get another test done, that would have been a problem. And luckily, in the first place that I worked, which was the Rehab Institute of Chicago, they were just incredibly supportive of my thinking. And if I didn't have those kinds of mentors early on, it probably wouldn't have dampened me, because I'm too stubborn. I'm the firstborn in a big old Irish Catholic family, and I think a take charge attitude is something that is just part of my being. If you work for some of the big box chains, they just want you to do what they say. These are our protocols. It's like, you know what, I didn't go to PT school to be a technician. You could train me as an on-the-job trained aide if all you wanted me to do was to follow a protocol. I want to look to see what does each patient need. You're still using all the evidence, and you're using your critical judgment. You are not just using some piece of paper that says do three sets of 10 and you'll be fine. That would have got me fired.
Yeah, a lot of places don't want to hear that. Thankfully, I think the PTs coming out now, and hopefully they are of the same mindset. And by now, the people who own the places are of the similar mindset. So hopefully we see less and less of that and more of critical thinking.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. It just depends on the culture of different work environments. It would be unlikely for me to work for a big corporate entity unless I had some very specific parameters. If I was hired as a consultant and not someone doing exactly what somebody else wants me to do.
Yeah, well, nobody, you know, not many people want to be on the assembly line. That's not really why you went back to school to do this.
Yeah, for sure. for sure, but you would be surprised how many patients come to see me, and they come from all over the states.
Yeah.
And they'll say, you know what, my PT or my doctor never looked at these connections. Why didn't they look at the GI system and the link to breathing and the link to the pelvic floor and how the vocal folds are part of postural control, just all those things together.
Yeah.
And that's, I love seeing innovations in our field because yeah. I think it's such an exciting field.
Well, thankfully you thought that way, or else, you know, a large portion of the population who's taken your classes all over the country, all over the world, wouldn't be thinking and implementing what it is that you've thought of, saw, figured out, innovated, and then wound up teaching to PTs. I know my boss right now, Amy O'Malley, she's a Pete's PT. On day one, when I started working at the clinic I'm at right now, she handed me one of your binders and she said, read this. If you have any questions, come back to me. And I remember it was you know, if you can't breathe, you can't function. I was like, okay, I got no idea where this is coming from, but I'm going to start flipping through it.
That's funny.
So in your intro, it says that you've given over 900 professional presentations in 49 states and 15 countries.
Right.
What's the one state you haven't been to?
Well, I got to make a guess on that one.
Alaska?
I've been to Alaska about half a dozen times. I love going there.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you would have just said, we're going to have a course somewhere to make sure I get to this place. Is it got to be Hawaii then?
It is Hawaii.
Oh, you got to get over there.
Yeah, but I'm conquering it next year.
Oh, good for you.
But see, I can't put a course on because I only go where I'm invited. So it would be cheating. Then I couldn't count it even if I wanted to.
Gotcha.
Just in my mind, that's the only thing that matters. Yes, I'll be teaching for the Hawaii State chapter next year. And that means I will have conquered the United States, and I have one province left to conquer, Canada.
Well, good for you. I want to throw some love to our sponsors who help keep the show on the air, Arias Medical Staffing. They are in the travel PT business. So if you're sitting there, and I know you're in the Chicago area, Mary, and you're like, you know what? I wouldn't mind going to Hawaii for a little while or maybe a permanent placement. Arias Medical Staffing can get you there. Travel within the United States, all while getting paid to be a PT. Paid travel, housing, benefits, positions in all 50 states, and now Mary will be to all of them, positions in a variety of settings, and travel from position to position, or take time off in between, or find permanent placements. And oh yeah, by the way, to get one of these jobs, to get one of these gigs, you don't have to pay them anything. It's free when you sign up. You just get paid to go be whatever you want to be as a PT, wherever you want to do it. So give them a call, 1-800-340-2619, or online, check them out, AURESmedical.com. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to get deep inside Mary Massery's brain. Well, let's get deep inside your lungs, because that's your wheelhouse. And we also want to talk about how exactly you picked where you went to PT school after the break on the PT Pinecast.
We're working our brain and our brachioradialis at the same time. This is the PT Pinecast, brewed by Arias PT Staffing. Want a job? Ask Arias.
Calling all physical therapists.
Expand your knowledge and your practice with Rock Tape. Join their medical professional program at no cost to you.
And start getting 40% off retail pricing right now.
Just head to rocktape.com and click Become a Medical Pro
to get 40% off retail right now.
Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger longer
with the best kinesiology tape, cutting edge education, and fitness support products.
Physical therapists,
go to rocktape.com/start
and use the code PTPINECAST when you sign up
for an extra 10% off your first order. Rock Tape, the best kinesiology tape.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariasmedical.com. That's AURESmedical.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. Back on the PT Pinecast here with Mary Massery. And Mary, a regular feature on our show is three questions. brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. We're going to get deep inside your lungs here, since you are our breathing, our postural expert that we've had on the show. First question, where in the U.S. would you go if you had to leave Chicago and go be a PT somewhere else, either for a 13-week assignment or permanently? Where would you want to go be a PT?
So hard. If I wanted to go for just beauty as the primary reason, I would go to Alaska.
Yeah.
But I'd have to leave every winter. It's just too dark, but it's so gorgeous. It's
dark and lonely up there, but it is gorgeous. I suggest people visit it. I went up there a couple of years ago, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Second question's on three questions. What is something you've read recently that really inspired you?
Actually, an article that I just read by a speech pathologist, which tied together physical therapy, speech pathology, and pulmonary medicine.
Yeah.
To me, that's exciting, because that's the stuff that I like. And it's Annalisa Sutt, S-U-T-T, and she tied together passing ear valves, which only people who work in intensive care and with patients with trachs would know. But a very exciting, real game changer for how we are going to be treating patients in the intensive care units when they're weaning off the ventilators. That's a big deal, and that was really inspiring. And she responded that she actually got her idea for her doctorate from taking my course and taking it into her area. So that, her area of speech therapy, and that just gave me goosebumps. So yeah, I would have to say that was very inspiring.
That's great. Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right, third question. Who is someone in the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about?
There are so many. Paul Hodges from Australia, from University of Queensland, is such an innovator. I think he is the most important PT to PT research that we have in the world today. How's that?
I like it. You're off the hot seat for three questions from Aureus. we'll get back into it. You talked about where you went to school, Northwestern, and you said it was because of an interaction with a physical therapist and a particular treatment method with PNF, which is what drew you there. But that couldn't have been the only thing, right?
No. Also, at a very mature age of 18, one of my decision factors was that I liked the school colors.
You gotta like purple, right?
The colors are purple, and I love purple. So it's like, okay, well, that's a good reason to go to the university.
It also happens to be a pretty darn good school, so
well,
you lucked out there when you picked purple.
Yeah, thank God. But if I were my parents, I would have just slapped me upside the head and said, "No, kid, you need some logic for why you're going somewhere." I'm like, well, at that point, physical therapy was part of your undergrad careers, and they had a really good PT school, but a significant part, certainly not the only part, but a significant part was I liked the color purple.
Who knows? It doesn't really matter how you got there. You did get there, and you did something with it. So I'm pretty sure everybody out there is glad you got to Northwestern. So you got into PT, or at least drawn to it, because a PT used PNF on you after some knee surgeries in high school. And you asked her where she learned that skill, and you decided Northwestern had a good color and PNF. So you went there. How do you apply PNF, since that was the link that really made you think about PT school? Do you still apply PNF? Do you still use that with your courses?
I would say that PNF absolutely laid the foundation for my next 40 years of innovation.
Wow.
I still teach PNF. I love teaching PNF. It's a skill set, not of random diagonals. That just kills me when people say, "We just had to learn you. I don't know. You do these random diagonals. It's supposed to do something." It's like, oh my Lord, you didn't learn it well. It gives you a way to approach a problem. I could not have been an innovator in cardiopulmonary if I didn't have my neuro PNF background to give me the tools to analyze movement and systems to figure out where the problem is, and so how you can figure out how to treat. Absolutely, it's essential.
That's a pretty big endorsement right there. I've heard a lot of my fellow PT school graduates recently really grabbing onto it and having good results by using it. And they also kind of reiterated the same thing, was not just a treatment method, but really a great way to think.
Oh, that's the biggest part. Here was something that was really exciting to me. So I'm learning PNF in school, and I'm learning cardiopulmonary, two separate classes. I go to my first job, it's spinal cord injury, they all get pneumonia. So I know I need to treat the pneumonias, or not the pneumonias, the factors that contribute to pneumonia, and hopefully prevent them. And I'm using my tools from PNF to help me figure out what's the biomechanical problem with breathing following spinal cord injury. So I developed some new PNF techniques to treat this problem. And then years later, 25 years later, a colleague of mine from the University of Michigan calls me and says, we're cleaning out the PT library. There's so many old books. We're throwing out. And I get to this one skinny black and yellow old textbook, and it says proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, and it does not say edition 2, 3, 4, or 5. And she opens it and sees that it's the original textbook from 1956. Wow. So she said, the only person I could think who might actually care to have the original textbook was you. I was like going out of my mind, super excited. I'm like, yes, send it to me. So she sent it to me. It's very thin. It's maybe 60 pages. It's a really thin book. And in that book were the very same techniques that I developed on my own 20 years later from when this was published, 1956, mm-hmm. and I graduated in 77. I was able to develop the same techniques that they had in the 56 textbook, but then dropped out in later editions because polio was no longer a factor.
Oh, wow.
So they didn't think they needed these breathing techniques. And what was so exciting to me is the tools, the foundation that they laid was still adequate for me to reinvent what they had already done. So they were the first. I just reinvented what they had already done.
Right, but it would have been lost.
Exactly. If you don't understand PNF as a problem-solving approach, and you don't understand the nuances of how to use the sensory input, you're not going to be successful. It's going to feel like random diagonals that you just think is a waste of time. And it would be a waste of time.
Well, I like it. Well, you do teach that course, and I want to make sure people know where they can find you. That's masserypt.com, masserypt.com. And you got information about upcoming courses, and you can, if you can't breathe, you can't function. PNF Refreshed, more than 40 years of Mary Mastery tweaks on top of that. Advanced Pulmonary courses, and what else? What else is on there? Oh, the I Survived Now What, of course, as you mentioned earlier.
Those are my four main courses. And then the other courses, I see myself transitioning as, this is my 40th year as a PT, and I really feel I'm about halfway done. I'm okay. Never retiring. I love what I do. I love constantly pushing myself and innovating. That's what is exciting about being in this world. And I see my role for the next 40 or 50 years transitioning more to being the bridge between the medical community and the PT, OT, and speech community to really help us understand how we work cross-discipline, not just because we say we work multidiscipline, but because we truly work as a team.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, is how to bridge the gap to not only let other people know what we do, which is important to us, but also make sure we know what other people do, so we're not just being so one-sided.
Right. Well, I always describe it as the Olympic rings, because you notice that the Olympic rings do not butt up against each other. They overlap and intertwine. And that's what a good team really does. So I need to know enough about speech and OT and pulmonology and orthopedics and neurology and cardiology and everything in order to be more effective as a PT.
I like it a lot. Well, thanks for sticking around for 40 years, and thanks for promising to stick around for 40 more.
Thanks, I will. That's my plan. We'll see how well I can execute it.
So you've done it in 15 countries, going around the world and teaching. Where do you like to go outside of the country? Because you like wine, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Red and white doesn't really matter. You don't discriminate, which is good. What do you like to do outside of the country? Where should we go?
If you're looking for wineries, which I just always find such a fun local thing to do, my favorite wineries just for geography is in Argentina. the Mendoza area, which is all Malbec, which, oh my gosh, I try to have Malbec for breakfast, lunch, and dinner when I'm there. It's so fantastic. But the vineyards sit in the foothills, the valley and foothills of the Andes Mountains. They're so stunning, Jimmy, so stunning they look fake. You go to a winery and it's completely flat, beautiful vineyards and gorgeous setting, and then it looks like it's right in the backyard. Of course, it's much further back. There are these towering mountains with snow caps year-round. They're just stunning, stunning. And the Malbecs are delicious. So that's one of my favorite places, yeah. And for whites, I like mountains because we don't have mountains. Chicago has nothing. The biggest elevation change you have in Chicago is going on and off ramps to the expressways. That's about it.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's very true. I love my city. I love Chicago. But yeah, we don't have much in terms of change in elevation. So for whites, I love New Zealand and their Sauv Blancs in the Marlborough region, which is in the South Island. Also just stunning views and beautiful, refreshing wines. So it's really fun. And sometimes I'm in little tiny places and I still try their wines, and some are not so good, but I don't care because it's just fun going and exploring that the whole vintner culture in somebody else's country.
That sounds good. I like that. I'm going to have to write those down. And once I get around to getting out of the country more often, I'll drink myself around the world. Why not? Mary told me to do it. All right. So we have a regular feature on the show. Okay. The episode that we record is a pint or, you know, a full glass of wine in your case. Before we're done, we call it the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
So since this is your 40th year as a PT, and according to your plan, you're just halfway through it right now, which means you'll work till you're about 112. What have you seen in your career so far? You did your very first presentation at a national seminar in 1979, and now you've done it, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times. What have you seen both change and stay the same within the field of physical therapy?
I would say in the late 70s, sometimes we actually had too much time with our patients, which is never going to be a complaint somebody has today. And probably somewhere in between the two extremes is just right. So that's been one big change. The other change is there was a lot more hands-on in the 70s overall, you know, 70s, 80s. And I would say nowadays there's less hands-on, a lot more education. The education part is actually very good, but I think we're missing some of that hands-on. You need to feel it and understand the movement, and just being given a piece of paper with instructions on it or telling them to, you know, watch YouTube, it's like, it's not the same thing. You need to be able to feel how you fire those muscles and get that feedback both from manual contact as well as visual and vestibular contact. So those are some of the changes. Technologically, wow. I mean, that's been incredible in every area of physical therapy. That's been fantastic changes. Those across the board have just been wonderful tools to make our job easier and more effective. I think those are the major trends.
I think a good example is, you know, what your friend found in terms of the old PNF book. It's embrace the new stuff, but make sure you don't forget the old tried and true, the roots. The stuff in the basement was important back then. Weed out the stuff that doesn't need to be there, but make sure that the tried and true stuff doesn't get lost.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you just want to throw things out simply because they're old. It's like, well, your grandmother's old and you didn't throw her out. You know, you want to keep the things that still have value,
right?
And always be looking for the new cutting edge, what's going to make things more efficient, more effective. But don't throw out old methods simply because they're old. Throw them out if they're not effective anymore.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
You can check out more information at MasseryPT.com, Mary Massery, teaching around the country and around the world. Appreciate you taking some time out just to kind of scratch the surface about this area of PT that is obviously necessary, because everybody that I've heard take your courses has raved about them, and everybody who doesn't really know about them is scratching their head saying, wait, why is this important? And it's good to hear from the horse's mouth, you know, where it fits and where we can learn more. Again, MasseryPT.com is where you can find more information and when she's going to come to your neck of the woods, and you can get a little taste in person. Mary, appreciate you taking some time out and talking with us here on the program. Hope it's not the last time.
No, I hope not. It was fun, Jimmy. Thank you for inviting me on.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.